Good afternoon, everyone. This is Jeff Davis welcoming you on the Home of Champions Network of the New York Yankees to baseball time from Fenway Park in Boston. Under cloudy skies, somewhat threatening, I'd say at this point, it might rain at almost any time the way it looks now. We're about to play the Boston Red Sox, and of course, the Yankees send your way all of the thrills of the play-by-play. Description by Mel Allen, voice of the Yankees, and his traveling sidekick, Phil Rizzuto. Yours truly along for the ride, words here and there for Atlantic. P. Ballantyne & Son, the co-sponsor, brews the famous three-ring Ballantyne beer, the crisp refresher anytime, and now the largest-selling beer in the East. In the first half of today's game, your hosts, Atlantic dealers everywhere, and the Atlantic Refining Company, bringing you sensational Atlantic Imperial Gasoline, your car's power mate for 58.
Atlantic keeps your car on the go. For business, for pleasure, in any kind of weather, Atlantic keeps your car on the go.
When you want to go places and do things, what a pleasure your driving can be.
For quality products and not service, your Atlantic dealer is a man to see. Atlantic keeps your car on the go, go, go.
Yes, sir, the good old summertime is here. It's summery at Fenway in Boston as far as temperature is concerned. And we're hoping that we won't get a summer thunder shower before this game is over. Starting lineups are about set. Phil Rizzuto's over there checking the last of his scorecard. He'll keep score, of course, as he describes the play. Engineer Pappy Durkin of Sports Network. Bill Balastro, looking tall and handsome and well-tanned. The golfer in our engineering crew in the Home of Champions Network. Well, now, let's see. Batting for the Yankees today, leading off, and playing in right field, Hank Bauer. Batting second at shortstop, Tony Kubek. Batting third in center field, Mickey Mantle. Batting cleanup and catching, Yogi Berra. Batting fifth for Casey, Gil McDougald at second base. Batting sixth in left field, young Norm Seaburn. Batting seventh at third base, Jerry Lumpy. Batting eighth at first base, will be Marv Thornberry. Muscarin still out, but available for pinch hitting duty. And pitching today and batting ninth will be Don Larson. For the Boston Red Sox, Don Budden, shortstop. Batting number one, Don Budden, playing in the short field. Batting in the second slot will be second baseman Pete Runnels. Batting third, Ted Williams in left field. Batting cleanup, Frank Malzone, the third baseman. Batting number five in the order, right fielder Jackie Jensen. Batting sixth at first base, Dick Gurnett. Batting seventh in center field, Jimmy Pearsall. Batting eighth in catching, tall Sammy White. And batting ninth and pitching in another start against the Yankees, whom he finds so difficult to beat, will be Tom Brewer. And of course, if Mr. Brewer has it, well, that's the way it'll be, a victory for him. If the Yankees get to his pitching service, delivery, well, it could be a victory. That's why the game is played, isn't it? Back of the plate, calling balls and strikes, will be Frank Yumon. Behind, at first base, will be the senior umpire, still active in the American League, Bill Summers. At second base, Jim Hunnicik. And at third base, Hank Soar. Also in the broadcasting box, of course, Mel is quite a distance from us on the radio end. He's over in the television cameras for the Metropolitan New York City audience. And NBC is here today. Leo DeRocher doing the play-by-play with his sidekick. Oh, it's fully covered. Of course, Kurt Gowdy, voice of the Boston Red Sox, is right next door to us with radio and TV for the Boston Red Sox network service. So we're ready to look at the action. May I remind you again, Ballantyne and Atlantic bring you another game and another great season of Yankee play all over the Home of Champions Network. Our broadcast, by authority of the New York Yankees, intended solely for the private enjoyment of you, our listening audience. Any rebroadcast or other use of the play-by-play description without the express consent of the Yankees is prohibited. We're not in our usual spot today, to be truthful, as far as radio casting is concerned. We're usually a little more toward back of the plate. Phil is over to the far right end of the new area that's been given to us, and we're a little higher up than usual. But we'll see all of the action on all of the field, and I hope you enjoy the thrills of the action. Baseball this coming week will be on our network, sort of hit and miss. And we'll have a look at the schedule. Let me see. We'll have a single game tomorrow. And the stations might note that also. I think Phil Velastro on the conference calls, monitor service before the game, indicated to be a single game. Here come the umpires out on the field. Bill Summers leading them toward home plate. Casey Stengel. He coming out of the dugout, pauses the top step, and has the cards make sure that order is correct. The manager always checks that, you know, because once the card is presented to the senior umpire of the day, the umpire in chief of a ball game, that's the way the fellows have to bat. And there have been instances in years gone by where one fellow would be in the wrong spot or not what the manager intended. But whenever the listing is, when the umpire receives it, it cannot be changed until the first time around. Well, now, let's see. Next week, we'll have an off day on Monday. And on Tuesday, it will be a blank day on the network. Wednesday, Cleveland at Yankee Stadium. It'll be part of a lengthier homestand for the New York Yankees, the last homestand at the stadium against the Western ball clubs. Thursday night will be another open day because it's a night game against Chicago. Friday, we'll have a broadcast in the afternoon against the White Sox. So next Wednesday and next Friday afternoons, and then, of course, into next weekend. A week from today, Chicago, last ladies' day of the season. It will be at Yankee Stadium, and a big doubleheader against Detroit a week from tomorrow, Sunday, August the 24th. Get your tickets, join us in person, or tune Yankee Broadcast with Mel, Red Barber, Phil Rizzuto, and yours truly, Jeff Davis, all from the stadium when the team's at home. Well, the days are flying by. Getting near the end of the season. All fans are still coming in, Fenway. It's going to be a packed ballpark today. And this rivalry, of course, is one that draws fans as fast at Fenway as it does at Yankee Stadium. Only last weekend, they set a great record again. Or I should say, been the first largest crowd, rather, let's put it that way, since 1951. It was Old Timers Day. Here, 7 days later, that's part of history again, and we're on to another chapter. They break up the huddle at home plate. Phil?
Casey breaks into a sprint and then stops. Case always puts on a show for the customers. You make him believe he's coming up into the stands and then breaks over into the Yankee dugout. And now Casey's calling all the Yankee ball players to line up on the top step of the Yankee dugout. And the Red Sox ball players are doing the same thing, lining up along the top of the dugout. And we're just waiting for the announcement over the public address system. Fred Cusick, who does such a fine job up here at Fenway Park. He's also the director of sports on WEEI here in Boston. Now all the players are lined up. And now the announcement. Everyone stand for a moment of silence in tribute to Babe Ruth.
May we ask that you stand together with the present day players of these two clubs in a moment of silent prayer in memory of Babe Ruth.
We interrupt the ball game for a special bulletin from the WOKO newsroom. And now we go to special reporter Charles Murn on the scene.
This is Charles Murn of the news staff of WOKO reporting from a scene of a fatal shooting here in Albany. A Mr. Carhart, estranged from his family, returned to the house to shoot his wife and son, and then shot himself. It is believed that Mr. Carhart is dead, and the wife and son are in critical condition, or possibly may have died by now. Three smaller children escaped to a neighbor's house by escaping through a rear door. The children came running to a neighbor shouting, Daddy just shot Mommy. The victims had been removed from the scene. The scene of the shooting was 665 Delaware Avenue in Albany.
You have just heard a special report from special reporter Charles Murn on the scene to the WOKO newsroom. Any further details will be brought to you immediately over old reliable WOKO, first in Albany, New York. We return you now to Fenway Park in Boston.
Look in on the scene and see which club is victorious. Phil?
Yep, the times that I faced him, the times that the Yankee players have faced him, they say that he has as sharp a curveball and as live a fastball as any other pitcher in the big leagues. It's just that certain pitches don't do well against certain teams, no matter how hard they try, no matter how much stuff they have on the ball. Hank Bauer steps into the batter's box. Hank's batting .288. He has 17 doubles, 6 triples, 10 homers, and 39 runs batted in. Red Sox defeated the Yankees last night. Young Ted Bosfield turning in a nice job. The first pitch of the ballgame, high inside. Bauer leans away from a high inside fastball. Ball one. Frank Grissetti coaching down at third. Ralph Houck over at first. The sun is trying to break through an overcast sky. The 1-0 pitch is strike one call. Sidearm curveball nipped the outside corner. And as we told you, we're between third and home doing this game. And our look at the plate is a little different than from right in back of the plate. There's a high fly to short left center field. Jimmy Pearsall with the glasses down under it makes the catch for out number one. Bauer flies to Pearsall in short left center field. And the field has dried out beautifully since last night. Last night there were puddles all over the field. The outfield is slipping and sliding around. A lot of credit goes to the ground crew here at Fenway Park, and of course to Tom Yorkey, the owner, and Joe Cronin, the general manager. Keep things in wonderful shape here. Tony Kubek swings and sends a ground ball. Button backhands it to throw to first. In time to get Tony Kubek. A beautiful play by Don Button, who had to go in the hole between third and short, backhand the ball, and fire to first to get Tony Kubek, and Tony can go down that line. Two away. And here's Mickey Mantle. Kubek went up there hitting .274. Mickey's batting .306. He has 16 doubles, no triples, 33 homers, and 72 runs batted in. On deck, Yogi Berra. The pitch to Mantle. Strike one, he swings and misses. Crowd loves to get on Mickey up here. Just about any park. The pitch to Mickey is a curve in the dirt, rolls back to the screen, 1-1. Sammy White is checking his catch. His glove, that ball went right through the webbing. Sammy ties a couple of knots in it. Very dangerous, of course, especially with men on base. Should a ball go through the webbing. One ball, one strike, two out here on the top of the first. No score. The pitch is hit high in the air to left center field. Williams and Pierce all over. They're both calling for it. Williams makes the catch as Pearsall crosses in back of him in deep left center field. And for the Yankees in the top of the first inning, no runs, no hits, no Red Sox errors, and nobody left on base. The score at the end of one half inning of play, the Yankees nothing and the Red Sox coming to bat.
And the way they'll summarize that, of course, three up, three down. Well, the big season for summer driving has been on for quite some days and weeks, and pretty soon the summer months will be at an end. But there are many more wonderful driving days still remaining. on into the pretty month of September, in which we say goodbye to summer and welcome the first of fall. But no matter whether you're driving distance on vacation or on a routine, regular trip or business, I'd like you to try Atlantic Imperial gasoline. You get the most from your driving from Atlantic Imperial. It makes the moments back at the wheel of your automobile a genuine pleasure and a true economy. Because Atlantic Imperial gasoline is big in power. It's big in mileage and big in value. That's Imperial, today's best super-octane buy. Imperial gives you that power made drive, the genuine power that a big car engine of today demands, power that stretches into top economy mileage. Next time you plan a journey for business or pleasure, plan ahead with your head by starting at the Imperial pump at your Atlantic dealers, and then head for the highway and really enjoy power made drive. Get ready to go in the bottom of the first inning. Don Budden, Pete Runnels, and Ted Williams. Don Larson, he's won 8 and lost 5. His lifetime record, he's 148 and lost 49. And he's 2-1 against Boston this year. And against Boston lifetime, he's won 11, lost 10.
Don Budden steps into the batter's box, leading off for the Red Sox. He led off the game last night with a double off the left field wall. He's batting .233. The first pitch is low outside, ball one. There's a foul off the mask of plate umpire Frank Umont. Frank straightens it out a little bit. Fires the new ball back to Don Larson. 1-1 the count on Budden. One ball, one strike the count on Don Budden. Nobody out, nobody on the bottom of the first. The pitch is low, ball 2-1, as Larson tried to change up curveball. Don, of course, pitching with the no-wind-up delivery, which he started right here at Fenway Park 2 years ago towards the end of the year. Ball three, a high fastball inside. 3-1. Pete Runnels on deck. A 3-1 pitch. Strike two called. Budden starts to go down to first base. Ball nipped the outside corner. Full count on Budden. 3-2. Jack Burns coaching down at third. Del Baker over at first for the Bo Sox. Here's the payoff pitch. Ground ball. Fair ball. Ricocheting off that left field wall. Budden around first and holds on. And then Budden goes to second. He slides and he's in there with a beautiful hook slide. As Tony Kubek, in the act of picking up the ball in short left field, skidded about 6 feet. And when Budden saw Kubek's feet go from under him, he continued to second after he had stopped halfway around. And Kubek's throw would pull McDougal off the bag. And let's see what they credit Budden with. They have not made an official score yet, whether that's a single and an error or a double. The ball was hit by third, as we've told you here at Fenway Park. The wall in front of the left field seats juts out to the foul line, and balls ricochet in a short left field. The shortstop has to be alert. And Kubek was, but the field is still a little wet, and he slipped in the act of picking up the ball. Budden is down at second base with the first base hit of the ball game. Pete Runnels takes a pitch low, ball one. We have not had an official decision on whether that's a single or a double. The stretch, the pitch to Runnels, is in the dirt, bounces in front of the plate. Yogi knocks it down, ball two, 2-0 on Runnels. Pete leads the American League in batting with a .328 average. He has 25 doubles, 4 triples, 5 homers, 39 runs batted in. Don Budden leading off second base. Larson stretches. The pitch to Runnels is strike one call. And now they've decided to give Don Budden a double because of the wet turf out here in Fenway Park. And it wouldn't be fair to charge Kubek with an error. The stretch by Larson. The 2-1 pitch is hit on the ground to second base. McDougal up with it, fires to Thornberry for the out, but moving over to third, Don Button. He's in scoring position, and here comes Ted Williams. Ted starts digging that big hole at home plate. Man, he's going to strike oil the way he digs. He really, look at him digging down there. He could really use his shovel. Plants that left foot firmly on the ground. The splendid splitter is hitting .312. He has 17 doubles, 2 triples, 20 homers, and 66 runs batted in. The infield playing way back. The first pitch is below the knees, ball one. Yogi turns around, and Frank Youmont follows Yogi out towards the pitcher's box. Yogi actually shows up an umpire. When he turns around and argues, there's no mistake in why Yogi is arguing. Some catchers can do it without turning their heads, but Yogi turns around, his shoulders sag. The pitch to Williams is low, ball two, 2-0. We're in the bottom of the first inning, no score in the ball game, one away. Don Button down to third base. The count, 2 balls, no strikes on Ted Williams. On deck, Frank Malzone. The infield playing back. They're going to give the run to the Red Sox should he hit a ground ball. There's a drive to left field. Steven going back near the scoreboard and makes the catch, tagging up Don Button. Here he comes, and Button scores after the catch, and the Red Sox lead 1-0. Norm Sebring, about 2 feet in front of the scoreboard out left field, made that catch. The wind is blowing in a little bit. If that ball had been hit last night with the wind blowing out, it would have been against the fence for extra bases. But Ted Williams drives in his 67th run of the year, and the Red Sox lead 1-0. Two out, and that'll bring up Frank Malzone. Malzone's batting .302, the third baseman batting in the cleanup spot. Swings, and there's a little Texas leaguer in a short left. Sebring digging in fast, and he drops the ball. He can't hold on to it. Malzone heading for second. Sebring throws, lying flat on the ground. The ball not in time. And Sebring skidded at least 15 feet that time as he dove for that ball. It hit in his glove, but his momentum knocked the ball out of his glove. And Malzone continued on to second base for another double. The second base hit off Don Larson. Steven picked up that ball, lying flat on his back, tried to throw it to second base, but it just rolled there. Malzone is in with a stand-up double. Two away, here's Jackie Jensen. Jensen is batting .310. 24 doubles, 32 homers, and 102 runs batted in. The first pitch is strike one called, a fastball down the middle. That one spot out there in left field, almost the same spot in which Kubek slipped. Sebring slipped right near it, and they really did skid. There are certain low parts on the field where the water has to drain. That's one of them. The one strike pitch is low, ball one, 1-1. Larson into a stretch position. 1-1 pitch is low outside, ball two. 2-1 on Jackie Jensen. 1-0 in favor of the Red Sox. We're playing the bottom of the first. Two out. Frank Malzone down at second base. For Malzone, that was his 24th double of the year. Pitch to Jensen is low outside, ball three, 3-1. Three balls, one strike on Jackie. Here's the stretch. The pitch is popped in the air to short right field. Hank Bauer with the glasses down coming in under it and makes the catch for out number three. So for the Red Sox in the bottom of the first, one run on two base hits, no Yankee errors, one man left on base. The score at the end of one full inning, the Red Sox one and the Yankees nothing. A look at the scoreboard in the American League. Washington at Baltimore tonight. Cleveland at Chicago tonight. Detroit at Kansas City. All night games. In the National League, Philadelphia at Milwaukee. Chicago at San Francisco. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. All day games, and they all start later on. And they're the only games scheduled in the National League. So we have very little action to report. And as we told you, today marks the 10th anniversary of the day that the great Bear Brute passed away. And everyone stood for a moment of silence in respect to the Bambino. And we were looking at some of his records that he's made, and some which will never be beaten. He has the highest slugging average for a year, 847. He has the most home runs for one season, 60. Most home runs lifetime, 714. Most runs scored in a season, 177. The most home runs for 1 month by a left-hand batter, 17. And the most bases on balls received, 170. He also has quite a few pitching records. He started his career here in Boston as a pitcher and has quite a few records. And we'll pass them along to you later on in the game. Right now, Yogi Berra stepping up to lead off for the Yankees. Here in the bottom of the second, the first pitch to Yogi is hit on the ground. Runnels over to his left, up with the ball. Flips to Grenadine, it's one away, and Runnels was playing Berra perfectly in the hole, way over near first base. Yogi went up there batting 263. Here's Gil McDougall, the second baseman. McDougall batting an even 260. On deck, Norm Seaburn. Last night's game, Casey Stengel had just two left-hand batters. Today he has six left-hand batters in the lineup. The pitch to Gill is low outside, ball one. The only right-hand batters are Bauer, McDougal, and Larson. The 1-0 pitch to McDougal is pop foul in back of the Red Sox dugout, going out of play. Ricochets off the Skyview seats, back down into the lower seats. Skyview seats here at Fenway are situated on the roof. They have two rows of them running from in back of first base to around here in back of third base down the left field line. Beautiful seats to watch a ball game. Tom Brewer into the windup. 1-1 pitch to Gill is hit on the ground to third. Malzone, it can't get it. Right underneath his glove. He was there, but the ball scooted underneath his glove. It's a base hit for McDougal. And you very seldom see that happen. As the first base hit of the ball game for the Yankees, Malzone picks up some dirt, throws it on the ground. He knows that he could have had that ball. He made a play last night to end the ball game on Mantle, a much tougher play, but this one he just didn't get the glove down on the ground. So McDougal's on at first with the Yankees' first hit. Here's Norm Seaburn, the left fielder. Seaburn's batting 306. Gernot holding first against McDougal. The stretch, the pitch to Seaburn is strike one call, a fastball on the outside corner. Jerry Lumpy is on deck. Here's the stretch and the pitch. The curve is hit on the ground. Runnels backhands it, flips the button for one. Back to first. Safe at first. A beautiful play by Pete Runnels, who went almost in back a second to backhand the ball in the same motion without taking the ball out of his glove. Flipped it backhanded to Button for the force on McDougal sliding in, but Button's throw not in time to double up Seaburn. Two nice plays by Pete Runnels, and it's two away. Seaburn at first, the batter Jerry Lumpy. Lumpy batting 282. On deck, Marv Thornberry. First pitch to Lumpy is fouled to the right of the plate and over towards the Red Sox dugout. Strike one. Sun starting to break through the clouds a little bit. They've been very lucky with the weather here for this weekend series. It's rained before and after the games, but hasn't rained during the game. A stretch by Brewer. Pitch to Lumpy is strike two call. Fastball right down the middle. Looked like Jerry was looking for the breaking stuff that time, and Brewer came in with a fastball. I tell you, if it rains today, we're all going to get soaked. We're right out in the open. on a little balcony overhanging the sky view seats. Nothing over our heads except the sky. The pitch, Zilumpy has bounced on one hop to Gernot, who takes two steps to the bag for the unassisted putout. And for the Yankees in the top of the second, no runs, one hit, no Red Sox errors, one man left. The score at the end of an inning and a half, the Red Sox one and the Yankees nothing.
From New England to Florida, Atlantic offers top quality in gasolines. If you want super octane power, long, long mileage, then ask for Atlantic Imperial Gasoline, the gasoline that gives you that power mate drive. Imperial from Atlantic Refining means top power, power carefully designed to suit the engine requirements of cars of today. And Imperial means top mileage, too, important to you during the summer big driving season. Enjoy both of these features with Atlantic Imperial, today's best super octane buy. Why not start PowerMate travel today at your Atlantic dealers? I'm talking particularly to those who don't have the Atlantic habit as yet. It's a wonderful thing to know that there are Atlantic dealers stations all over the East Coast, from Maine to Florida, ready to serve you, and as far west as the state of Ohio, for that matter. And they've got all of the things that you need to enjoy the travel of your automobile. Maybe it's a two-car family. All the more reason to practice real economy and yet have the powerful gasoline supplies you need through Atlantic Imperial. Back to the ball game, Fenway Park. Dick Gernot, the bottom of the second inning. And then Pearsall and White. Gernot, Pearsall, and White.
Batting 232. 17 doubles. 14 homers and 52 runs batted in. The Red Sox lead 1-0 here. We're in the bottom of the second. Don Larson ready. The fastball is down the middle. Strike one call. Fastball is high. Ball one, 1-1. Joe Ripley's finding some more of Babe Ruth's records, especially his pitching records. We'll pass him along a little while. There's a curve, gets by Yogi, low and outside, ball two, 2-1. Babe Ruth's lifetime pitching record, he won 92 and lost 44. His earned run record, 2.24. And in the 3 years that he concentrated on pitching with the Red Sox, his records were 18 wins, 6 defeats, 23 wins, 12 defeats, 23 wins and 13 defeats. Strike two as he foul tips a fastball. 2-2 on Gernot. Matter of fact, in 1916, Ruth had the lowest earned run average. In 324 innings that he pitched, his earned run average was 1.75. The 2-2 delivery is low outside, ball 3-2. Matter of fact, they say if Ed Barrow, who was the general manager at that time with the Yankees, had not shifted Ruth to the outfield, he probably would have rated with Lefty Grove and Carl Hubbell as a southpaw hurler. He was that great. Just a tremendous natural athlete. Everybody loved him, and he loved everybody. The payoff pitch. Foul tip. Yogi can't hold on to it. Bounces out of his glove. Gernot's got a life. Matter of fact, after Ruth became the greatest slugger, he pitched five games late in the season to draw the crowds, and he won all five. The 3-2 pitch is popped in the air. And back a third. Lumpy calling for it. Then Kubek says he'll try for it, and foul territory makes the catch. One away here in the bottom of the second. And the batter, Jimmy Pearsall. Pearsall's batting 244. 11 doubles, 3 triples, 8 homers, 39 runs batted in. Pitch to Pearsall is ball one, a little high and outside. Two away here. One away, rather, in the bottom of the second. Nobody on. Fastball is low. Ball two. 2-0. The 2-0 pitch is lined out in the right center field and in there for a base hit. Bauer over to his right, up with the ball, pierced all around first and holds on as Bauer's throw comes into second base. A long single by Jimmy Pearsall, a right center field. Hit number three off Don Larson, and here's Sammy White, the catcher. White's batting 251. Has 12 doubles, 3 triples, 3 homers, and 25 runs batted in. Mark Thornberry holding first against Jimmy Pearsall. There goes Pearsall. The ball is popped in back of first, but this one going foul as White trying to duplicate Jimmy Pearsall's play of last night. In that, Pearsall threw his bat at a ball with Gernot running, and the ball hit the bat and just dropped over first in a short right field for a double. Sammy White almost duplicated, but the ball curved foul just in back of first base. One strike. The Red Sox had the hit and run on that time. One away. Pearsall down at first. We're in the bottom of the second. The Red Sox lead 1-0. Larson stretches. The pitch is low, ball 1-1. Sammy White, who has really changed his stance, asks for time as Larson gets set to pitch. Something blue in his eye. Sammy used to stand with his feet wide apart, almost the length of the batter's box, and the bat way back. Now he's got his feet real close together and holds the bat out in front of him. Throw to first, Pearsall's back. One out. Pearsall leads off first. There he goes. The ball is lined in the right field, but Pearsall's going to have to hustle back. Bauer makes the catch. The throw to first. Pearsall slides, and he beats the throw. Jimmy was all the way down to second base, and White hit the ball hard out where he was supposed to, the opposite field, but a little too far. Bauer made the catch, and Jimmy had a slide back into first ahead of Hank's one-hop throw into the bag. Two out, and the batter, Tom Brewer, the pitcher. Brewer batting 196. He has 11 for 56, one double and two runs batted in. And now let's pause for station identification.
Your dial is set at 1460 WOKO First in Albany, New York. And remember, the Troy Buick Roundup follows the game today with Jack McNamee.
First pitch is outside, a throw down to first base, and Pearsall will have to slide back in. He's in there, though. Jimmy's taking a big lay down there. He's trying to bother Larson, and he can. And at the Yankee Stadium, he really bothered Ryan Duren, running up and down the third baseline, throwing dirt up in the air and yelling. Look at Jimmy dancing back and forth there. The pitch is low. Ball two, 2-0. And a fella dancing off first base or off any base can bother a pitcher. Jackie Robinson really used to bother the pitchers. He would take just about the biggest lead of anyone I know off first and be able to get back. The stretch. Pearsall jumping back and forth. And just as Larson's ready to deliver, Tom Brewer stepped out of the box. So Pearsall bothered the pitcher, but it was his own pitcher who was at bat, Tom Brewer. Brewer got tired of waiting there and asked for time. Crowd getting a big bang out of Pearsall, dancing off first. Here's the stretch. The pitch is low, ball three. That's 3-0. And he definitely is getting Larson to think about him over there because he's not concentrating on the batter. Casey Stengel is yelling from the Yankee dugout, get the hitter, never mind that runner at first base. After all, he doesn't want to walk a pitcher. Look at Pearsall, the pitch. Ball four. And that hand is for Jimmy Pearsall more than for Tom Brewer. Pearsall really rattled down Larson while he was on first base. The first walk of the ball game. And that brings up Don Budden, who led off with a double in the first inning as he hit a ground ball just over third base, ricocheted off the wall in a short left field. Don Budden now has 19 doubles. The first pitch is popped foul and back of first and over the roof and out of play. Strike one. Thank you. Gordon, a right-hand hitting shortstop, digging in. Here's the stretch by Larson. Curve is hit. Oh, a beautiful play by Jerry Lumpy. A line drive that Lumpy had a lunge to his left for, leap up in the air at the same time, and just did glove. And as Pearsall went by, threw his hands up in the air. A nice play by Lumpy, taking a base hit away from Don Butt. For the Red Sox in the bottom of the second, no runs, one hit. No Yankee errors, two men left on base. The score at the end of two full innings. The Red Sox one, and the Yankees nothing.
If you drive a car, here's one worry off your shoulders. New Atlantic Safety Service Lubrication. Thorough lubrication, plus at no extra cost to check with the battery, tires, radiator, fan belt, and windshield wipers. Don't forget, in the week to come, we'll have baseball for you in two afternoons. It'll be Wednesday and Friday over this station to which you're now tuned. And we cordially invite you on behalf of Atlantic Dealers and the Atlantic Refining Company to tune us in. All right? All of the action. This coming weekend at Yankee Stadium, there'll be games Friday, Saturday, against the White Sox, and also on Sunday, a doubleheader against the Detroit Tigers, a week from tomorrow. Tomorrow, Sunday, will be a single game, the close of this weekend visit by the Yankees that started Thursday afternoon, played last night, today, and tomorrow at Fenway Park.
And, of course, all men may be destined to fade from memory, but one of the last ball players forgotten will be Babe Ruth. Marv Thornberry steps into the batter's box as we get ready to go here in the top of the third. The first pitch to Thornberry is hit on the ground at second base. Reynolds up with it. Over to Gurnett, and it's one away. Thornberry was up there batting 223. That'll bring up Don Larson, the pitcher. Larson is batting 326. He's 14 for 43, has one double, three homers, and 12 runs batted in. 1-0 in favor of the Red Sox are in the top of the third with one out, nobody on. Wind up by Tom Brewer. The curve is low and inside, ball one. Here's the 1-0 delivery. A drive to left center field. Pearsall going back under it and makes the catch. And Jimmy is stepping gingerly over what must be a puddle there. It must be. There's Jimmy kicking his spike, getting the water off him. That's another one of those low spots here at Fenway where the water drains off. Now Jimmy's walking around it as long as he doesn't have to run through it to get a ball. Quite an actor, Jimmy Pearsall. Quite a ball player. Two away. And here's Hank Bauer. Bauer flies to Pearsall in center field in the first inning. Hank batting 287. First pitch to Hank is strike one call, a fastball down the middle. Tom Brewer is 6 feet, 175 pounds. He was born in Wadesboro, North Carolina, now lives in Charore, South Carolina. The curve is just inside, ball one, 1-1. Last year, Brewer won 16, lost 13. The pitch to Hank is hit on the ground. Button it short up with it, the long throw. Gurnett jumps up in the air, but Bauer's safe. As Gurnett jumped up in the air to get the high throw, he tried to tag Bauer coming by, but Hank was across first. That'll go as an error for Don Button. Here's Tony Kubek. Kubek bounced out short to first in the first inning. Takes a curve low, ball one. Brewer stretches. Bauer leads off. The fastball is down the middle. Strike one called. 1-1. 1-0 in favor of the Red Sox here in the top of the third. Two out. Hank Bauer down at first base. Don Budden seems to make errors on the easiest chances. But when he has to go far to his right or left, he throws in one motion. When he takes his time, he makes a bad throw. The fastball is inside. Ball 2-1. And, of course, that's one of the hazards of playing the infield. When you get a ball right at you, you've got a lot of time. You try to aim the ball. And that's when you usually make a bad throw. Two balls, one strike on Kubek. Mickey Mantle on deck. The pitch is swing and a miss on a high changeup. 2-2 on Tony. Kubek batting 274, has 17 doubles, one homer and 35 runs batted in. Here's the stretch. And the pitch. Foul at the plate. Count holds it 2-2. Actually, it's closer to the right field foul line than it is to the left field foul line here at Fenway. It's 3-2 down the right field line, 3-15 in left. But in right field, it just goes straight out. You've got to really pull the ball to get it in the seats. Left fielder goes straight across. Here's the pitch. Ball 3-2. The fans moaning because Sammy White caught that ball, pulled it down a little bit. Sammy's one of the best in the business for a catcher pulling the ball. After they catch it, they pull it real quick over the plate. And, of course, it makes the umpire look like he's missed it, at least to the fans in the stands. Full count on Kubek, so Bauer will be off and running as there are two away. Brewer stretches. There goes Bauer. The pitch is popped in the air and back a third. Malzone digging back, but that ball's going back into the seats and out of play. Count holds it 3-2. Three balls and two strikes on Tony Kubek. Two out. Bauer at first. We're in the top of the third. The Red Sox lead 1-0. Here's the stretch. The pitch is fouled over the Yankee dugout and off one fan's hands. It's a good thing he had him in front of his face. Well, he'd have got hit square on the schnozola. Bounced down the seat in front of him. There's a kid with a broken arm picks up the ball. Got his arm in a cast. Now he's waving the ball around. It's an easy way for him to get the ball. Three balls, two strikes on Kubek. The pitch is outside. Low ball four. First walk given up by Brewer. And that brings up Mickey Mantle with two out. Runners at first and second. And Sammy White now out to the mound talking with Tom Brewer. Brewer worked a little too careful on Tony Kubek and lost him with a 3-2 count after Tony fouled off two pitches. And now he's got Mickey Mantle to worry about. Mick flied out to left field in the first inning, batting 305. Here's a stretch by Brewer. The pitch to Mickey is strike one called, a curveball. Just nipped the outside corner. Brewer checks the sign from Sammy White. The stretch, the runners lead away. The pitch is strike two as he tried to check his swing, but the momentum of his swing carried his bat across home plate. Nothing in two on Mantle. Mickey really fooled on that pitch. Bauer leads off second. Kubek off first. Brewer stretches. The pitch to Mickey is just outside ball one. One ball, two strikes on Mantle. Always a lot of excitement generated up here in Fenway Park when the Yankees meet the Red Sox. No matter what the score, no matter how much of a lead the Yankees have on them. Here's the stretch. The pitch. High. Bauer had a big lead at second base, but he didn't go. Button's playing in the hole. And Runnels playing deep at second base. Nobody bothering Bauer. Two and two on, Mickey. Two out. Two on. One and nothing in favor of the Red Sox here in the top of the third. Brewer looks back at Bauer, leading off second. Now he stretches. Mantle digging in at the plate. The pitch. Strike three. Swings and misses. So for the Yankees, in the top of the third, no runs, no hits. One Red Sox error and two men left on base. The score at the end of 2.5 innings of play, the Red Sox one and the Yankees nothing.
And that strikeout really set them going. Speaking of going, get ready, get set, go. All their familiar words with a great new meaning today. Get ready with Atlantic Imperial Gasoline. Get set for that power made travel. And be on the go for the finest driving yet. All possible because Atlantic Imperial Gasoline is available and gives you top power, the kind your car demands. Atlantic Imperial gives you top mileage, the kind that stretches the driving pleasure because it stretches the dollars of your driving budget. Yes, Imperial is your car's power mate for 58 in the years to come. So see your Atlantic dealer today. Ask for Imperial, today's best super octane buy. Enjoy power mate drive. Atlantic in baseball. The New York Yankees tomorrow, single Sunday game, Fenway Park, airtime 1:55. Moving into the bottom of the third inning, Phil will call the plays for you. Runnels, Williams, and Malzone come to the plate against Don Larson.
Don't forget, the Yankees will be home Tuesday night. The Western clubs start their invasion at Yankee Stadium. And the Cleveland Indians will lead the Western clubs into the Yankee Stadium. With a night game Tuesday, a day game Wednesday. The White Sox come in for a night game Thursday, a day game Friday and Saturday. And Saturday is Ladies' Day. That's the 23rd of August. Followed by a doubleheader with the Tigers, and then the Kansas City A's close out the Western invasion. Pete Runnels, who bounced out second to first, leading off for the Red Sox here in the bottom of the third. They lead 1-0. Pete's batting .328. Fastball is bunted foul to the left of the plate. Strike one, 1-1. Runnels tried to catch Lumpy, laying back at third, but fouled the bundle up. One ball, one strike. Nobody out and nobody on. Ted Williams is on deck. Larson ready on the mound with his no wind-up delivery. Here's the pitch. High outside, ball two, 2-1. Here's the pitch. Outside. Ball three, 3-1. Ted Williams on deck swinging the weighted bat in his own bat around. I tell you, that weighted bat is heavy, but he swings both those bats like a toothpick. There's the pitch. Strike two call. Full count on Pete Runnels. Runnels is a lot like Williams in his stance in that he doesn't move. He just bends his head back to allow the catcher to throw the ball back to the pitcher. Here's the pitch. High outside, ball four. He lost him. Second walk given up by Don Larson, and here comes Ted Williams. Williams hit a long sacrifice fly to left field in the first inning, driving in the only run of the ball game for the Red Sox, and the only run of the ball game for both teams. Ted remains at .312, his batting average. Stoneberry is holding first against Runnels. McDougal in the hole between first and second. The pitch is low outside, ball one. Williams is happy to face Larson with a man on base because Ted has said time and again that Larson's the toughest man for him to time, with that no wind-up delivery. But with a man on base, of course, he can get his timing. Here's the stretch. The pitch is low inside, ball 2-2 and nothing. Yogi calls time, shaking his head, talking to plate umpire Frank Umont. And no strikes on Williams. Here's the stretch. The pitch is strike one call. Fastball on the outside corner. Ted is choking up on the bat about an inch and a half here of late. He says he's getting his timing a little better that way. The pitch is a curve. Hit high in the air, deep to right. Bauer going back. Back. And makes the catch right against the low right field wall. Reynolds tags up and easily goes into second base. As Hank Bauer had a backup 380 feet from home plate with his back against the low barrier just in front of the seats, reached into the stands actually to make the catch. Reynolds tagged up and easily got down to second base. That's how deep that ball was hit. That's just about the longest part of the park in right and right center that you can hit the ball to, and center field straight away is 420. So Ted Williams flies out deep to Hank Bauer. Reynolds goes to second. Malzone, who doubled the left field in the first inning, is the batter. Malzone batting 303. Right hand hitting third baseman. Lawson sets. The pitch is low, ball one. Low curve is line foul back over the roof and out of play down the left field line. One ball, one strike on Malzone, one away. The Red Sox lead 1-0. We're in the bottom of the third inning. Here's the stretch by Big Dunn. Ball is low outside, ball two, 2-1. Reynolds with a short lead off second. Pitch to Malzone is hop foul. Yogi chasing it back, but that ball is coming back into the stands and out of play. Oh, a youngster tried for it, then at the last second went away from it. Was afraid to try to tackle it with his bare hands. Just a young kid, and it bounced on the cement. Found it high back into the stands. Some of the fans getting on him down there, good naturedly. He's just waving his hands. Well, he'll have something to tell the boys when he gets back home tonight. 2-2 the count on Malzone. One out. Larson stretches. The pitch is popped in the air and back of first. Thornberry going back. Under it. Makes the catch in short right field for out number two. Reynolds holds it second. Two away, and here's Jackie Jensen. Jensen flied out to right field in the first inning. Jackie's batting 310. Jensen digs in with that right foot. It's a solid toehold. His left foot is pointed out towards the pitcher. The pitch is popped in the air. Back of the pitcher's box, Kubek and McDougal flip the glasses down. Now Kubek calls for it, makes the catch right by the pitcher's box for out number three. So for the Red Sox in the tied bottom of the third, no runs, no hits, no Yankee errors, one man left on base. The score at the end of three full innings, The Red Sox won, and the Yankees nothing. Fans this Sunday at Yankee Stadium will mark the return of the colorful Detroit Clowns, who will meet the champion Kansas City Monarchs in a Negro American League doubleheader at 2 p.m. And returning to the stadium with the Clowns will be the fabulous Goose Tatum and the equally noted Sweetwater Clifton. And it should be a big afternoon on Sunday. And don't forget, too, fans, for your ticket shopping convenience, the Yankee Stadium Advanced Ticket Office on East 157th Street will be open all day tomorrow, that's Sunday, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Yogi Berra will lead off for the Yankees. Before Yogi gets up there, we'll take a quick look at the scoreboard. All other games in the American League are played tonight. Washington at Baltimore, Cleveland at Chicago, Detroit at Kansas City tonight. In the National League, Philadelphia at Milwaukee. The Phillies scored in the top of the first. They lead 1-0 with Milwaukee batting. Simmons against Spahn. Chicago at San Francisco starts later on. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Friend against Haddix. No score. The only game scheduled in the National League. Yogi bounced out second to first in the second inning. Batting 262. Brewer ready. The first pitch is high outside. Ball one. The windup. And the pitch to Yogi is popped foul over the roof and out of play. 1-1 the count. Got a little chilly up here in the radio booth. One ball, one strike. Brewer ready. The curveball is lined in left field. Way back there, way back. And off the wall. Williams plays it on two hops. But Yogi is in at second with a double. That ball looked like it might go all the way for a home run. But hit on the top of the fence. And Yogi is in second base with a double. Hit number two off Tom Brewer as Yogi went to the opposite field. For Yogi, that was his 13th double of the year. And it'll bring up Gil McDougal. Gil single to left in the second inning. Batting 261. Malzone now moves in a little at third, and Case McDougal bunts the pitch. Strike one call, overhand curveball. Norm Sieben is on deck. Here's the stretch. The pitch is bunted. Brewer off the mound, up with it. Goes to first in time to get McDougal. Berra goes down to third base, and the sacrifice works. From the pitcher to the first baseman, from 1-3. One away. Here's Norm Sieben. Sieben hit into a forced play in the second inning. Batting 305. And now the Red Sox infield moves in for a possible play at the plate. The Red Sox lead 1-0 here in the top of the fourth. One away, Berra leading off third. The pitch to Sieben is strike one called. Fastball just above the knees on the outside part of the plate. A tough pitch to hit. Brewer, of course, trying to keep the ball low so that Sieben hits the ball in the dirt where they have a chance to get Yogi trying to score from third. The windup. The pitch is strike two called. A sharp breaking curve. Ball in the same spot. Nothing in two on Sieben. Jerry Lumpy is on deck. Brewer into the windup. The pitch is a curve. He checks it. No swing. Fans thought he had swung, but he started a swing, checked it, and pulled his body away. And that was really a sharp-breaking curve. That one broke below the knees. One ball, two strikes. Brewer put a little extra on that curveball. Really broke it off. Of course, that's the mark of a real good pitcher when he's got that little extra to fall back on when he's in a jam. All right, the one ball, two strike pitch. Another curve. Strike three, swinging. Man, he pitched Zeebrun perfectly. Everything down low around the knees. And that's the first strikeout of the ball game. Nope, second strikeout. Struck Mantle out. And that brings up Jerry Lumpy with two out. Yogi remains at third. Lumpy hit to first base in the second inning. Batting 281. On deck, Marv Thornberry. Here's the first pitch to Lumpy. Strike one. He foul tips it back into the glove of Sammy White. Another curve in that same spot. Oh, just think of a pitcher could put it there all the time. Low and outside, yet it's still a strike and a tough place to hit the ball. Yogi running up the line. Here's the windup. Fastball is low. Ball one, one and one. One ball, one strike, two out. Here in the top of the fourth, the Red Sox lead 1-0. The pitch to Lumpy is fouled off his right foot. Oh, man, that hurt. Brewer off the mound, fielded the ball. Didn't realize that hit Jerry off his right foot. Now Jerry is really limping. Reaches down with his left hand to touch his foot. And leaning on the bat, that really hurt because it hit solid, straight down, and then rolled out towards first base. One ball, two strikes on Lumpy. Lumpy's having trouble standing still. That's when it hurts. Keep moving that foot around. Doesn't feel too bad. Wind up by Brewer. The pitch is hit on the ground at second base. Runnels up with it. Over to Gurnett for out number three. Brewer pitches himself out of a jam and for the Yankees in the top of the fourth. No runs, one hit, no Red Sox errors, one man left. The score at the end of 3.5 innings of play, the Red Sox 1 and the Yankees nothing.
Good old summertime, and the living is mighty easy. The driving is better than ever thanks to that Power Mate drive from Atlantic Imperial Gasoline. Atlantic Imperial is today's best super octane buy. This lets you hum along the highway so nicely. That's right, Atlantic Imperial. It gives you that gasoline superpower a big modern car engine requires, demands, needs, any other word to that effect. You get the added budget benefits of top economy mileage so that you can go more and do more and enjoy every mile. So, once you get that Power Mate travel, yes, get the most out of summer driving and on into the days of autumn, too. Wherever you travel, any season of the year, start your journey with Imperial from the Imperial gasoline pump at your nearby Atlantic dealers. Lots of Atlantic stations around Boston. Well, they're as well known as Fenway Park, you can bet on that. And lots of people count the Atlantic station not far from home or place of business as the base department store for good motoring every time out. Let's pause 10 seconds for station call time on the Yankees Home of Champions Network.
All Yankee baseball games are brought to you by Valentine Beer and Ale and Atlantic Gasoline Companies exclusively in the Capital District over WOKO 1460 First in Albany, New York.
That's into the batter's box. We've got ourselves a red-hot pitching duel here at Fenway Park in Boston between Don Larson and Tom Brewer. The Red Sox lead 1-0. We're playing the bottom of the fourth. Dick Gurnett, who popped a shortstop in the second inning, the batter. The first pitch, low outside, ball one. Gurnett batting 231. Curve is low outside, ball two, 2-0. Jimmy Pearsall standing in the on-deck circle practicing his swing. The changeup is in there, strike one, 2-1 on Gurnett. Another curve is over. Changeup curve, strike two, 2-2 on Dick Gurnett. Leading off here in the bottom of the fourth. Larson sets on the mound. The no wind-up delivery is low outside. Ball three. Full count. The payoff pitch is line over Lumpy's head. Fair ball down the left field line. Bounced into the lower box seat for an automatic ground rule double. Dick Gernot hits a line drive over Lumpy's head. It's one of the few times I've ever seen that happen here, where the ball hit in fair territory and bounced into the lower left field box seats. Gernot leads off the bottom of the fourth with a double. That's hit number four off Don Larson. And for Gernot, that's his 18th double of the year. Here's Jimmy Pearsall. Pearsall singled to deep right center field in the second inning, batting 246. Now the Yankee infield looking for the possible bunt. Here's the stretch. The pitch low inside, ball one. Must be a north wind blowing here up in the Bean Town. Sure getting chilly. Here's the stretch. Pitch to Jimmy is strike one as he just tried to punch that ball over Marv Thornberry's head. Just enough to advance Gernot to third base and maybe get himself a little base hit. He did it last night. 1-1 on Jimmy. Larson stretches. Kubek holding Gernot close to second. The pitch, Pearsall pushes a bunt. Larson up with it. And the runner does not advance. The throw to first is in time. Dick Gernot did not go to third base. And I don't know whether Pearsall realizes that Gernot didn't go to third. But the sacrifice fails to work as Pearsall tried to push the ball past Larson. He didn't get it far enough to Larson's left. Don wheeled around and Gernot halfway down decided to go back to second. Then Larson continued wheeling around and fired to first in time to get Pearsall. Gernot remains at second base. That was an unusual play. That it would have been tough for Larson to get Gernot at third. It was not a forced play. His throw to third, Lumpy would have had a tag Gernot sliding in. But Dick's not an especially fast base runner. Here's Sammy White. Sammy flied to right field in the second inning. Pitch is hit high in the air. Kubek at shortstop on the edge of the outfield grass. Under it and makes the catch for out number two. Two away, and that'll bring up Tom Brewer. Brewer walked in the second inning. Batting 196. Tom gets a nice hand. His record has been a big disappointment for the Red Sox fans and for Brewer himself. He's only won 6 and lost 10 this year. So he was expected to play a major part in the Red Sox bid for a pennant. And he could have made the difference in about 6 or 7 games. All right, here's the stretch. The pitch to Brewer is popped high in the air, short right center field. McDougal back, Bauer and Mantle coming in. And then Mantle calls for it and drops the ball. He dropped the ball. Mantle drops the ball as he and McDougal got mixed up in their signals. Mantle and McDougal pulling a little bit of the Alphonse Gaston act. You take it, I've got it. They both stopped a couple of times, and Mantle is charged with an error. The run scores, and the Red Sox lead 2-0. It was just a high, ordinary pop fly to short right center field. Gill was back. He was under it, and he must have heard Mantle coming in. He stopped. Mantle stopped, and then Mickey lunged for it at the last second. The ball rolled right out of the pocket of his glove. An error charged to Mantle. The run scores. The Red Sox lead 2-0. Don Budden takes a pitch low, ball one. All those things can happen so easily out there. With the crowd yelling, it's hard to hear the outfielder or the infielder saying, I'll take it, or you take it. And they were both caught looking at each other. There's a slow curve in the dirt, ball two, 2-0. And, of course, there's the problem of running into each other. That's why McDougal had to stop and why Mantle had to stop. Plus, the fellas don't want to get injured now. World Series time is drawing clear. Curve is low outside. Ball three. 3-0. That run will be unearned. Two outs. The 3-0 pitch to Button. Strike one call. Here's the stretch. And the pitch. Low, ball four. Button gets a base on ball. The third one given up by Don Larson. And that'll bring up Pete Runnels. Runnels bounced out second to first and walked. Batting 328. Brewer moves on down to second base. Button down to first. Two away here in the bottom of the fourth. The Red Sox lead 2-0. Pitch to Runnels is popped foul to our left and out of play. Over the roof. Cowboy Pete Runnels, a left-hand hitting second baseman of the Red Sox, who leads the American League in batting. Here's the stretch. And the pitch. Just outside, ball one, 1-1. Boston sets on the mound. The changeup is lined in the right field for a base hit. Here comes Brewer around third. He'll score. Going into third base, Don Button, and holding at first, Pete Runnels. RBI for Runnels, and the Red Sox lead 3-0 with Ted Williams coming to bat. Ted Williams hit a sacrifice fly in the first inning and flied out deep to right field in the third. 0-for-1. He swings a high fly to the infield. McDougal coming in. Thornberry coming in. And McDougal makes the catch. At the last second, Thornberry stops. So for the Red Sox in the bottom of the fourth. Two runs on two base hits. One Yankee error. Two men left on base. The score at the end of four full innings. The Red Sox 3. And the Yankees, nothing. Not too much action in the scoreboard. The American League, as a matter of fact, 3 night games. Washington at Baltimore, Cleveland at Chicago, Detroit at Kansas City play tonight. In the National League, Philadelphia 1, Milwaukee nothing at the end of an inning and a half. Simmons against Spahn. Chicago at San Francisco starts later on. Pittsburgh nothing. Cincinnati nothing at the end of one. Friend for the Pirates. Haddock started. Schmidt in the second. Thomas has just homered in the second, and the Pirates lead 1-0. And they are the only game scheduled in the National League. And now Mel Allen coming over here.
Hello there, everybody. Your host, Ballantine Beer, the largest selling beer in the East. Enjoy a glass of Ballantine right along with the game. Icily light, smooth, and delicious. Man, but it's good. 3-0 in favor of the Red Sox as we go to the first half of the fifth inning. Marv Thornberry hitting eighth in the order will be followed by Larson and then leadoff man Hank Bauer. Thornberry batting 221. Marv grounded out in the third inning to Pete Runnels. Tom Brewer goes to the windup. Around comes the right arm, the pitch. High, ball one. The 1-0 pitch. Swung on, little roller, hit to Garnett. He tosses to Brewer, covering, one away. Now Don Larson. Batting 318. Fly to center field in the third. Next pitch is low outside, ball one, one and one. One and one the count. Next pitch is low, ball two, two and one. Two balls, one strike. Next pitch, swung on, foul back out of play. A 2-2 count on Don Larson. One away, first half, the fifth inning. The Red Sox leading 3-0. A little butterfly flitting out around in front of the plate. Right in the path of the ball, too. Here's the pitch. Swung on, a ground ball hit to short. Up with it is Button. The throw on to first in time. Two away. Now stepping up, Hank Bauer flied to center and was safe on a throwing error by Button. Field around to the left. Infield deployed well around toward third. Now the pitch to Hank. Swung on. Foul ball hit to Grissetti. Coaching at third. Strike one. Pitch. Swung on, say, fly ball into short center. Coming fast. Three men, and the ball is caught by Runnels with his back to the plate going away. Beautiful catch by Runnels. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. And at the end of 4.5 innings of play, the score, the Red Sox 3, the Yankees nothing. Say, mister, you want a beer that looks lively golden and crystally clear, that tastes icily light, smooth and delicious as can be? Well, sir, just pour yourself a tall, foaming glassful of the crisp refresher, Ballantine Beer. Ballantine Beer is icily light and as refreshing as a plunge into a pool on a hot summer day. No wonder they call it the crisp refresher. You just get yourself a tall, foaming glass of Ballantine Beer right now. Lift it to your lips. Take a deep, delicious swallow, and man, now you know Ballantine Beer is really the crisp refresher. And remember this, Ballantine's now the largest selling beer in the East. Most folks know that when it comes to checking around. You just find out that's the truth. for honest-to-goodness refreshment, Ballantine can't be beaten. So you just make that three-ring sign and ask the man for Ballantine. Ballantine Beer, the crisp refresher. It's the last half, the fifth inning. Frank Malzone coming up with Jensen on deck and Gurnett to follow. Malzone hitting 302. Double to left and popped to first. Don Larson ready to work. And the pitch to Malzone. Ball one.